politics, religion, fortune,
privilege,
fame,
addictive,
money,
getting richer,
power,
manipulation.
Welcome to the school of life.
It's time.
Welcome to the school of life. School of life. Sometimes I did it wrong, sometimes I did it right. School of life. No matter how crazy this world may seem.
Come on, somebody give God a hand clap of praise in this place. Amen. Is anybody excited to be here on today? Anybody excited to be in the house of the Lord? Do me some real favor real quick. Let's just lift up a worship real quick. I ain't got much time, but let's just real quick just begin to talk to God and tell him. Come on. Come on. Come on, we worship you. God, we honor you in this place, oh God. God, we lift up your holy name, oh God. God, for you are righteous, you are true, oh God. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending, oh God. God, as our hands are lifted on today, oh God, we ask you to come into this room, oh God. Come into this room, oh God. God, for you know us so well, God, that you even numbered the hairs on our head, oh God. God, we thank you for caring on us, oh God, because we know that even your eye is on the sparrow. God, I pray right now, oh God, that you will open our ears and you will open our eyes, oh God, that we may be able to receive a word on today, oh God. God, help us, oh God, not to just be hearers of the word, oh God. God, but help us to be doers, oh God. Help us, oh God, today to be transformed, oh God, by the renewing of our minds. God, and I pray right now, the area of our life where we are religious, that you will grow us today in relationship. Hide me behind your cross. Speak through me. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Amen. I promise I don't want to be before you too long, but I do want to give you what the Lord has given us today. We've been in this awesome series. Pastor Sam makes it real hard to come behind him, man. I tell you, that's always a task. But the series titled is Just Ask. Somebody say, Just Ask. Just Ask. This is a really good series. And Pastor Sam, I mean, he kicked us off last week. And I think one of the key things that I took away from last week is that we have to understand that this ask, or our ask, is built off of our relationship with God. And I remember last week he said something real profound, is that some of us don't ask God because we intend that God is going to be like people. But how many go that God is not fickle like us? He's not fickle. He's awesome in all his ways. And so today we endeavor to go a little further We definitely go a little further. Can we real quick, can we just honor the set man of this house and just thank God for Pastor Sam and his leadership? I thank God. Amen. Bible says, you know, give honor where honor is due. And I'm forever grateful that this man shares his pulpit with me. That is just, that's so awesome. That's a blessing. Forever grateful for that. Amen. My wife is here. What's up, boo? Glad you made it. Amen. We thank God for her, too. I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm not going to give you scripture until later on. Is that all right with y'all? All right. I promise you. Because y'all know what I'm about to do, right? I'm about to tell a story. Y'all already know. All right. So real quick, let me jump in. I got to give you the abbreviated version. So when I was in high school, I didn't have. He's still present. You know, I don't like the word best friend. I don't think men should go around calling people their best friend. That's kind of weird to me. But one of my bros is a really, really good friend of mine, still my brother to this day. His dad was and is very successful. His dad was and is very successful. And so once we all got licensed, like around 16, his dad had a whole bunch of cars. He literally had it all. And so when we turned 16 and we got our license, whatever, he would allow us to drive his cars on the weekend. So when we would go hang out with our friends, we would go skating or wherever we would go, we would all take a different type of car. And so my guy, his favorite car was an old school. It was this real nice, I don't even know what type of car it was because it was so old, the dash meter didn't go over 55 miles per hour. So, I mean, that car was old. But it was a nice, it was an old school, it was a really nice car. My favorite car of the car fleet was a Dodge Challenger, a Dodge Challenger. It was a Dodge Challenger, and you know, it was what they call at the time a SRT8. It's a SRT8. So they don't really make those anymore. They call them the Bumblebee or the Scat Pack now, you know, and everything. But I'm pretty sure if you've been around, you've heard somebody flying down the street. They're really loud, and I mean, them boys roar. So that was my favorite car. And one day, I and another one of our friends, this guy by the name of Monty, I'm going somewhere. I was sitting in the passenger seat. BJ was sitting in the back seat, and we got ready to go. So I pushed the button to start the car, and Armani had never been in a car, and this push-to-start technology at this time wasn't normal like it is now. If you buy a new car today, I don't care if it's a Honda, I don't care if it's a Kia to a Bentley, most of them are push-to-start. So he looks in amaze and was like, dude, how did you just start the car? Like, what did you just do? Like, he was really confused that the car started, and he was like, where is the key? Where's the key? And I said, oh, man. I said, you gotta have a magic touch to start this car. You gotta have a magic touch. I said, you know what? Let's see if you have the magic touch. So he went and he pushed the button and the car didn't start, but the alarms, you know, just the lights and stuff came on. He was like, what? I said, I bet BJ got the magic touch. BJ was in the back seat. BJ reached over to the front and he pushed the start and it started. So Armani started tripping out like, oh my God, like what is going on? What is happening? Like, how are y'all doing this? And I kept telling him, I said, bro, you ain't got the magic touch, okay? Okay. So little did he know, with push-to-start technology, in order for the car to start, you have to put your foot on the brake, right? So he didn't know that. So he thought it was magic. So, you know, that was that. We went along, you know, did what we had to do that day. We got to school. All of a sudden at school, everybody was talking about Bobby and Justin was doing magic. And I'm just like, what? I was real confused, like, magic? Like, what y'all talking about? Ain't nobody pulling no rabbits out of hat, nothing like that. Like, what's going on? And then I thought about it. I was like, bro, he talking about when starting the car. So we had to pull our money to decide. I was like, bro, listen, it is not magic, okay? It's not magic. It's just technology where you have to put your foot on a brake in order for the car to start. But because Armani wasn't aware of the process or how things worked, he just assumed that it was magic. And today, to this awesome series entitled Acts. And if you're not careful, you will have a religious spirit and think that asking God is just some magical thing. Come on. That just because you ask, he just grants it. Well, what does magic have anything to do with just Acts. Because if we be honest, we've heard about different images of God, right? We've heard that he was a white man with long. We heard he was a black man with dreads. We heard all these things. But I want to show you on the screen real quick what a lot of us really think God is. We think God is a genie who's just here to grant our every wish because we asked. But what I want you to know is that you can ask God for whatever you want, whatever you desire. But you must understand that God is a God of order. Not only is he a God of order, but he's a God of standard. And you can fix your lips to tell God or ask God for whatever you want, but if it doesn't adhere to his order or to his standard, chances are it's not happening. But let's tell the truth really quick. Because even with knowing that, there's an elephant in the room. And the elephant is in the room because many of us, if we tell the truth, Pastor, we've asked God for stuff and he hasn't done it. We've begged, plead, declared, and decreed, and it hasn't happened. And if you are in a religious mind frame or standpoint of view, you'll start to think, oh, all these different thoughts and fears and all other stuff. But the truth of the matter in this series, I have to address the elephant real quick. I'm setting this up. Is that God is sovereign. I don't care how bad you need what you need. I don't care what you fix your lips for God to ask. You must understand that God is sovereign and he is not influenced by your acts. God is God. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He cannot be influenced by your earthly wants, needs, and desires. Because before there was a you, there was a God. Before there was a problem, there was a God. He is not agitated and frustrated or bothered by us. And I don't want to encourage you not to ask. I just don't want you mad falling out with God and leaving the church because you asked and he didn't answer it. That's why you have to get in relationship with God. And when you are in relationship, you know, mother, that he does what he pleases. He comes and goes as he wants to. For Psalm tells us, Psalms 135 and 6 says, whatever the Lord pleases, he does. He does what he wants to do and what he wants to do. He's not under the authority of any other person. And God is not influenced by us. You cannot manipulate God to make him move on your behalf. God is either going to move or he isn't. But I'm thankful that he's so good that he left us a promise. He didn't say that he would answer our every prayer, but he did say that all things will work together for your good. See, you frustrated with God because he ain't answered your prayer, but you don't realize he's still been keeping you in your right mind. You've been asking God for this and for that, and you don't realize that his grace has been sufficient. You better open your eyes and realize that the blessing of the Lord may give rich and out of what? No sorrow. And as long as I got the activity of my limbs, then guess what? I'm all right. Even, and I feel like I say this every time I preach, but Paul, one of God's right-hand men, his dude, came to God with a thorn in his flesh, begging God, asking God, take this thorn from me. God said, my grace is sufficient. Many of us are focusing on a direct outcome from God because we forgot that God can move however he wants to. God can start at the end and then come back to the beginning. He can start from the middle and then go to the start. God is not subject. The Bible even says that his ways are far from our ways and his thoughts are far from our starts. So I'm trying to tell you, stop putting God in a box, getting mad at God because he hasn't come through or answered your direct prayer, and realize and recognize that he's still blessing and keeping you. God is not influenced by our ask. He tells all over scripture, ask, ask. But you cannot think that your ask is going to make God have pity on you. I want to give you really quick, I want to give you three ways of how we approach God like he's a genie. I want to give you three ways of how we ask God and how we present this picture that God is magic. Are you ready for number one? Number one is we ask selfishly. We ask for God to fulfill our desires, dreams, want to. And it don't have nothing to do with him, his kingdom, his rule, or his order. And then fall out with God and mad at God. Because we're asking selfishly. James 4 and 3, it says so beautifully. It says, even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Help us. God is not God, all powerful, all knowing, to wake you up every morning and please you every day. We've belittled God to a religious experience and put him on a shelf to think that he's just supposed to make life easy for us. And whatever we ask him to do and whatever we tell him to do, he's supposed to do it. I'm confused. Who is God, you or him? We ask selfishly to please ourselves, to please our flesh. Can I might suggest today that the reason why God haven't answered that prayer or that thing is because it's rooted and grounded in selfishness. It only helps you. It don't advance God's kingdom. It don't bless God's people. All it do is make you look good. It's all about you. And I know God is full of promises, but this walk is not about us. It's about him getting glory through us. The next way that we treat God like he's a genie in a bottle and magic is this, is we think, you know, anybody got kids in the room? Anybody got kids? Okay. If you got kids or you have kids, there's this show called Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, okay? It's a fan favorite in my house. And whenever Mickey performs some magic, He says, Mika, Muska, Mickey Mouse. See, the parents in the house, y'all feel me? Y'all feel me? And so he says that as that is the magic potion, mother, to produce the result that he's looking for. And we took scripture so out of context that we think whatever we slap in the name of Jesus to the end of, Oh yeah. You praying for the most outrageous stuff and you putting in the name of Jesus, and because it's in the name of Jesus, God's gonna do it. So in the name of Jesus is the magic potion that gets God to perform for you. We treat him like he's a genie. But there isn't no magic potion that gets God to move. There is no magic saying that we can slap in a religious experience to make God move. What we have to understand is God is going to move if he wants to. And where we get this from is John chapter 10. I'm almost done. Chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 10. I'm going to read this really quick. This is where we get this from. It says this. It says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I'm reading the New Living Translation, NIV version, I'm sorry. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Verily, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, that you may ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. So we take the A clause of this verse and we say, God said, whatever I ask in his name, he's going to do it. Tap your neighbor and say, keep reading. You got to keep reading this, and you have to put this in context. God is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them, listen, I've been doing a great work. Y'all been doing a great work. And matter of fact, y'all going to do even greater works than I do. And matter of fact, while you're doing the Father's work, yeah, while the Father is working his perfect purpose inside of you, then you can ask, and what you ask, I'll do it. In other words, when you need something from me or you have a desire for me, if it's divine with my purpose and it's going to bring my Son glory, guess what? I'll do it, because it's glorify the Son and the Father. But when you asking for your own selfish desires, selfish wants and needs, I didn't attach myself to that. So we walk around slapping in the name of Jesus on things that's against God's character, against his nature, his demeanor, his promises, his statutes, and his words. And so we treat him like a genie just because we say it in the name of Jesus. But God is only going to do it in the name of Jesus if it brings glory to the Father. In other words, when you are in proper alignment with me, when you are in good standing with me, the Bible says nothing will I withhold from the upright. When you are in proper alignment and you are walking in purpose, and more importantly, you are doing the works that I have called you to do, I'll enable you, I'll give you power, I'll give you whatever you need to do it if you ask in my name. So we got to stop treating God like a genie. And the last way that I want to give you today of how we treat God like a genie is we demand from God, or we demand God like he works for us. God doesn't work for me. He doesn't work for Pastor. He doesn't work for you. He only works for himself. This is what we have to understand. One issue with religion is this. Religion tries to box God to have a stance. Let me show you. Religion says it's not this, and because it's not this, it has to be that. Because that is what we can agree on. And then everybody who does not agree on that is an outsider. Everybody who does not agree on this is an outcast, or is wrong, or their thought process or their theology is off. But the true matter is, as it relates to Christ in our relationship, there's a duality. A duality means that two things can be true at the same time. If there was a six drawn right here on the ground, and I'm standing over it, and I'm looking at it, and somebody asks me, what is that? I would say, a six. But if I change my position and I look at that same six from this side, I'll say it's a nine. And what the church has done is tried to divide us on because one person sees the six and the other person sees the nine. The truth of the matter, it's a six and what? A nine. Because it all depends on the spiritual maturity and the faith. That's what's... We are all not on the same level of faith. We are not all on, watch this, even the same level of grace. Why you say that? Because I'll believe that I'm forgiven, and you will believe that you're not. So it's not that God's grace, I don't know who needed this, is not sufficient for your dilemma, for your stance. It's just that your faith needs to be elevated or activated. Pastor, why do you say all of this? Because we've taken more scripture out of context. And I'll apologize on behalf of the whole church. So we'll take Mark 11 and 23, which says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to the mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that it will happen, then it will be done for them. And we'll take that stance, and we will go and demand God like God works for us. God, you said that so-and-so, God, so you got to do it. You got to do it. You got, because you said, take a name, say, keep on reading. If you look at verse 24 through 26, Mark, same chapter, it says, therefore, I tell you that whatever you what? Ask in what? Prayer. Catch this. Your ask to God is not a demand like he works for you. But your ask from God has to be a posture and has to come from a place of humility that understands that you are the Father and I am the child. So I will pray your word back to you, but don't get it twisted. You don't work for me. I work for you. But we'll use the scripture and say the scripture doesn't have any power. Because we're going about it, mother, from the wrong posture. And you know what? In scripture, we see this with Job. Job 38. Job has a reality check. Job's friends have boosted him and said this and said that. And he's found himself mad with God. So he begins to say things to God, or he begins to speak freely to God about his feelings. And God real quick puts him in his place. Job 38 and 5 says this. It says, who marked off the dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched out the measure lines across it? Or on what where's the footing set? Or who laid the cornerstone? In other words, where were you when I shaped the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? How do you have the audacity to talk to me like you run something? Nah, friend, you got it all messed up. You don't run nothing. Listen, if God don't do nothing else for you, I'm here to tell you, he's already what? Done enough. You can speak in tongues all you want to. You can name and claim it and decree and declare it all you want to. But God does not work for you. Now, I'm not teaching today. Don't name and claim it. Don't ask for God. Don't decree and declare. What I am saying is make sure you have the right posture and the right understanding that God does not work for you. Because if God give it to you with that attitude. So sometimes the way that we approach God with our acts makes our prayers be denied. Because we're going to God with a haughty spirit like God owes us something. Like God works for you. So I want to give you three things really quick, and I'm almost done. We're going to make good time because I want us to fellowship, and we got to get over to the place to see. So I want to give you these three things to consider when you ask. I want to give you this real quick. Number one, does your ask come from a place of ungratefulness? Before you ask God, measure to see is, am I asking God for this because I'm ungrateful in the area of my life? And many of us will live in ungratefulness. And so because we live in ungrateful, our prayers to God is not even a conversation. It's a wish list like God is a genie. You won't even tell God you love him. You just go to God, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to do that. I need you to do this. I need you to, oh, yeah, do this. Oh, yeah, do that. Oh, yeah. Oh, hold on. What's going on here? Does your acts, does it come from a place of being ungrateful? Two, does your acts come from a place of irresponsibleness? Jesus. Are you in the position that you're in to ask God because you haven't been a good manager? Are you in a position that you're in to asking God because you didn't do right by the last one? The question becomes, if you're ungrateful or irresponsible, why would God give you his resource? We say all the time that God gives the seed to the sower. We say that all the time. But catch the revelation. It's more than just about, or that story is more than just about being somebody who's willing to give. That story is about somebody being a good steward and a good manager. In other words, God, because you gave me this, I managed it well. And because I managed it well, it produced more than what you gave me. So God freely gives. God gives seed to the sower. He's given to the one who's grateful and who's responsible. The last one that I want to give you today. This is big today. We see this today. Is do your acts come from a place of envy? Are you asking God for something to keep up with the Joneses? Are you asking God for something so that people can look at you and see what you got? Are you asking God for something so that you can walk in the room and everybody turn around and look at you and all eyes on you? I said it earlier. God is not going to give you something that you're asking for from a selfish place that does not bring glory to God. My acts cannot be out of envy. My acts cannot be out of jealousy. My acts cannot be out of hate. My acts cannot be out of regret. But my acts have to be from a place of sincerity and from a place that, God, I'm doing this because I want this, because this is going to help you help me advance your kingdom. Now, I need to break this down really quick. Bear with me once quick. There's something, a term that I use. You can't find it in the dictionary because I said I use it, right? It's Pastor Justin talking, okay? There's a term that I got, that I heard. It's called righteous envy. Right. Somebody say righteous. Envy. Envy. You can ask God for righteous envy. If I see the way that Pastor Sam takes care of his wife, I see how Pastor Sam loves on his wife. I can ask God, God, give me a heart like Pastor Sam to love my wife how he loves his wife. Right. Or even better, you can ask that. Lord, help me to sing like the person who sung "Will Your Glory Cloud Fill the Place." Lord, help me to pray like you, where I lay my hands and people are delivered. There's a difference between envy and righteous envy. You can see something in somebody that makes you want to grow in your faith or grow in your stance with God. And you can pray and ask God, God, enlarge my territory, enlarge my coast. There's nothing wrong with that. That is not envy. But how many of us know that we'll never become what we don't see? So we have to see something so we can lay our eyes on it so we can behold it. I think y'all just missed that right there. We got to go see something. I'm going to leave that alone. Leave that alone. Today we're going to take you to see something so that your faith might increase. So we can behold. All right, I know this is backwards, but I'm not your conventional preacher. And I told God a long time ago, God, if you want me to preach, hey, you know, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it how you give it to me. And it's how God gave it to me. So I'm going to my text now as I close. As I close. 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 5 through 15. At Gilead, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, verse 7, Lord, my God, you have made your servant a king in the place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people, and you have chosen a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people, to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Yes. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and a discerning heart so that there will never be anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for. So not only am I going to give you what you asked for, I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. Come on, come on. I lost my place. Where I live at? Both wealth and what? Honor. So that in your lifetime, you would have no equal among kings. And if you walk in what? Obedience to me and keep my decrees and my commandments as your father David did, I will give you long life. Then Solomon woke and he realized that he had been a dream. And we go on to see that Solomon wrote all of the poetic books of the Bible. Book of Wisdom, Psalms, and all these different things that's full of wisdom and knowledge. We see that yet there is to this day not a man like him that walked this earth, other than Jesus, of course. But that's God. Come on, be for real. But there's no man, no natural man that's ever walked in this wisdom. The question becomes, mother, why did God answer his prayer? Why did God? What was the ingredients? Come on. Full disclaimer, God is what? Sovereign. So I'm not preaching to you that if you follow his footsteps, that God will answer. But what I am going to tell you is that this is the way in scripture that we see results. So I challenge you to do it this way. So I want to give you really quick three things that was in his axe. Three things that was in his axe that should always be in yours. Are you ready? I'm closing. Number one, admiration.
Come on.
Your axe must include admiration. Admiration and worship is the same thing. Even though God came to him, mother, and said, what do you want? He was sure to say, before I ask my lips to fix you to ask for anything, he said, you've shown great kindness to your servant and to my father, David. You was faithful. In other words, God, I love you so much. And this relationship that I have with you is not predicated upon you giving me what I asked for. But I'm going to let you know, in spite of, in conversation, I'm going to let you know that, listen, I love you. Listen, I worship you. I adore you. And I'm not asking because I think you're going to give it to me. I'm asking because I just want to let you know you are real.
Yeah. That's good. I love it.
Our acts must include admiration. We even see this when the Lord teaches the disciples how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. It's the prayer starts with first giving God the glory. It establishes the relationship that you are the Father and that I'm the Son. Hallowed means the anointed. There's no or nothing like you. You are the guy. You are the man. Even starts off like that. It must include admiration. The second thing that it must include, and I'm good. I'm ready, Vine. I'm good. It must include, watch this, thankfulness. How would you feel that if you had a friend and you gave to them freely and they never said thank you? Before he asks for anything, even though God told him to ask, if it was me, if God would have came to me and said, Justin, what you want? I'd be like, I know, I need this. I would have just ran off the list because this is an opportunity that I must seize. But he was so correct in his posture that he said, before I ask for anything, I'm going to give you the admiration that you're worthy of. Not only am I going to give you the admiration, I'm going to be thankful for what you already done. You have continued this great kindness to him and giving him a son. He's saying, Lord, I'm thanking you for my life that you gave my father a son that he may sit on the throne. He's telling him, listen, I'm thankful for everything that you've done, not just for me, but for my father before me. I'm thankful for that. And as I close today, number three, what every act must consist of, it must consist on bringing glory to God. We saw in John that he said, I'll do whatever you ask. But that ask was a condition of you doing the works that he did, continuing doing the works and doing greater works. And as a reward for doing the work, he said, you can ask and I'll give. And even in this text, we see that his acts was in alignment with his purpose. He was a king that was made to rule over the people. He asked God for discernment to be able to judge right from wrong. His acts was connected to the purpose and to the position that God had given him. And I truly am inclined to believe that because his acts was in line with the identity that God gave him, because his acts would help him not build his kingdom, not make his name great, but because it would bring honor and glory to God. He said, I'll do it. And not only will I do it, I'll give you even the things that you didn't ask for. Stand to your feet. The promises of God are yea and amen. God is a good gift giver. God wants you to have everything that you need. God wants you to be in relationship. That's why he tells you to ask. But we cannot and we can no longer ask God like he's a genie. ask God for things that only fulfills our desires. Ask God for things or demand that God do things. But if we could go to God with the right heart and the right posture and ask for something that will first bring him glory and honor. If we would go to God with an ask that will further the work that he's doing in our lives to bring glory to him, he said that he would do it. Some of us, we've been asking from the wrong heart, from the wrong posture, from the wrong mindset. And God is saying to me today, to you, to all of us today, if we could ask that the Father might be glorified in the Son, that he would do it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, oh God. We thank you for even your people. God, we pray that today we've been self-examined. And we will look at our acts. And we will ensure that what we're asking for will bring glory to your name. Help us, oh God, not to be selfish. Help us, oh God, not to ask out of envy. Help us, God, not to ask out of jealousy. But teach us, oh God, how to ask out of your will for our lives. For our lives are not our own. For our lives belong to you. God, and I believe by faith that even right now, oh God, that as we reposition ourselves, we give you the admiration, we give you the thankful and the grateful heart. I believe that you are reproducing what we ask, not for us, but for your glory. God, so I thank you, oh God, that we're getting ready to walk into a season of answered prayer. I speak prophetically in this place that we're getting ready to enter into a season, help me, Holy Ghost, of answered prayer, of a manifestation of what God has already said he would do. Not because of us, but because we've postured ourselves to glorify the Son through our works. And we give you the praise, and we give you the honor, and we give you the glory. God, and we thank you in advance in this house, oh God. We thank you in advance, oh God. We thank you, God, for the open door. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities. We thank you, Lord, for the ways that's been made. God, we thank you, oh God, that through us, people can see you. We thank you, Lord, that the axe is bringing glory to your name. We thank you that the axe is making your name great. We thank you that the axe is lifting you up, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. You might be in this place. Might be in this place today. You don't know the Lord and the pardon of your sins. I offer you today not a religion, not a religious experience, but I offer you today a relationship with God that cannot be boxed in by perspective or an opinion. But a relationship where you know him and he knows you. A relationship so good that even before you can fix your lips to ask, that he's already done it. If you're in this place and you don't know the Lord, lift your hands. If you've been disconnected from God, and you say, I've been disconnected, but I want to get back in right standing. I want to get back in fellowship. Lift your hands. If you want to join this church and be connected to this ministry and help us lift up the name of Jesus and help us transform believers, lift your hands. Repeat after me. Say, Father, I believe that you